This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, a simplified Internal Revenue Form 1040 made the rounds years ago. Some of you got a copy of it. You saw it in an email. It was kind of a gag email that people got. I remember getting it from several people. It looked like a 1040 form, but it was very simple and very basic. It had a place for you to put in your Social Security number. There was no line for your name, since your name was unnecessary in this computerized age. There were just two lines on the form. Line one, how much money did you make last year? Line two, say it with me. Send it in. Send it in. Just send in all your money. Not even the most ardent patriot, an author says, who is ready to do just about anything for his country, would be willing to give everything he makes. That would be too extravagant. Too extravagant. Yet Leroy Lawson from Phoenix, Arizona says this, love isn't really love if there isn't something extravagant about it. Love really isn't love unless there's something extravagant about it. Don't raise your hand, but there's times when you bought a gift for even your spouse and you were saying, I'm going to lower it a little. I'm going to get this model or whatever instead of the other one. But true love, there is a sense in which love is extravagant when love gives beyond what we have. You say, why are you talking about that? Because today we're actually going to read an account in the Gospel of Matthew where a woman that's not identified in Matthew at all is a woman who takes a jar, an alabaster jar of perfume, get this, that's not worth $325. It's worth a year's worth of wages. And she breaks it, and she pours it over the head of Jesus on the Tuesday before the death of Christ. Most Bible scholars identify this happening on Tuesday of the final week. And the disciples are indignant. They're mad. They said, why would you waste so much money? And it's interesting to see what happened from there, the response of Jesus. And today we talk about extravagant love. Love that's extravagant in what it gives, because you have been loved and I have been loved extravagantly by the Son of the living God. It's in Matthew 26 as we go through these final days in the life of Jesus. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, Bethany was a suburb of Jerusalem, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. I think the King James uses the word vexed. They were ticked, would be a word we would use in this culture. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. That's an interesting statement, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Listen to it again. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Part of the burial rituals of the day was to prepare a body by pouring perfume, very expensive perfume, on the body. The Jewish writings, the Talmud, said it was a godly thing to do to take care of the dead in that way. Verse 13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What she has done will be told in memory of her. This is a powerful passage from the Gospel of Matthew out of the final week of the earthly life of Christ. I'd like for you to tune in tomorrow to Cross Hope to hear this message continue about an anonymous woman who made a dramatic gift to the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. God bless you as you listen tomorrow to Cross Hope. Well, the operative phrase this week is extravagant love. That's what we read about in Matthew 26, where an unnamed, unknown woman at the home of a man named Simon the leper takes an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. One person said it was worth a year's wages, and poured that over the head of Jesus in an act of preparing or anointing him for burial.
It's a dramatic act. It's something that speaks to your life and my life in 2014 about loving the Lord and loving other people. God bless you as you listen to part two.
I don't know what you consider extravagant love in your life, what you've done out of extravagant love, or someone's done for you and you say it was extravagant what they did for me. But I want you to leave here today knowing that extravagant love was manifested to you in a way that you will never be able to measure in terms of forgiveness, in terms of what happened on the cross. I want to do a little verse by verse and share some stories with you that I think will help you understand the passage. Verse 6 says, "While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper." 10 Simons in the Gospels or in the New Testament. We don't know which one this was particularly. But isn't it interesting he's identified as Simon the leper? It means that he was healed. I think he was healed by Jesus at some point, but he still had the label connected with his name, Simon the leper. Question, what word's connected to your name? You ever thought about that? Does anybody associate your name with something from your past? Something that you've done? Something that they won't let you forget? Well, I want to suggest that there's truth to that with all of us, that we all could put our name, Randy the sinner, Mary the sinner, Bob the sinner, whatever your name is, because you see, we're all identified by that name. The difference is we're forgiven. And I will go to my grave as a sinner. So will you. But we go as forgiven sinners, and there's a difference. There is a powerful difference that you and I need to acknowledge. Verse 7 says, "A woman came to him with an alabaster jar, very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table." Someone who did some research on this was at second service. I don't even know. I've never met him before. But he said he's done some research on it, and he found that it possibly this perfume came from India, from northern India. It was very expensive, obviously, and it cost a year's wages. Mark mentions that it cost a year's worth of income. Think of what you make in a year. That's what this cost. So we're not talking about an ounce of Chanel No. 5. We're talking about something far more expensive than that. And she breaks it and has the audacity to just pour all of it on his head as you would anoint a king, or as you would anoint someone for burial. And notice the reaction of the apostles in verse 8. "When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Now, what's interesting to me, John mentions something that Matthew doesn't. John mentions that it was Judas who started the discussion on this. And does that ring any bells with anybody? Judas was the one that John said he had his hand in the bag. He was the treasurer for the group of the disciples, and he was stealing money from it. And he was the one who initiated the conversation. "Hey, we could have spent this money on the poor." No, what Judas probably meant was, "I could have spent it. Why did this woman waste this money that I could have spent on my own use?"
Well, we'll continue this message from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, tomorrow on Cross Hope. If there's ever a part of this message you've missed, you do know you can go to our website, crosshope.org, to listen to the rest of this message. That's crosshope.org. Thanks and God bless.
I told the first two services about a church in the Chicago area when I was growing up, made the newspapers because they had a church treasurer that was interesting. He was financially respected in the community, but he would always stop anything the church wanted to do. If they needed paint, he would say, "You know, we really don't have the money at this time to paint." The church needed an addition. "No, we just don't have the wherewithal to do that. I'm sorry, I just can't let the church do that." And everything the church tried to do, this one particular treasurer stymied it. Well, what they found out, you know what they found out after 8 to 10 years, is that he'd been taking the money out of the treasury, was going to Hawaii, was taking flying lessons. You know, he's having a good time. And so when he was saying there's no money for paint, he was saying there's no money for me if we paint. There's no money for going to Hawaii if we put an addition on this building. He had the same thing with Judas. Judas's motives weren't pure when he said that, because his hand was in the bag. And I want you to notice something that shocks people is verse 10. "Aware of this, Jesus said to them, 'Why are you bothering this woman?'" She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. I have actually heard people say that the reason Jesus came to earth was to help the poor. Wrong. The Bible says he came to save people from their sins. That's you and me. That was his reason for being, his reason for coming. That doesn't mean he didn't care about the poor. But isn't it interesting what Jesus would say? You're always going to have poor with you, but you won't have me always. And this was done as an honor to me, and it was done to prepare me for burial. And what's interesting is that criminals were not anointed with perfume after their death. They were just buried because you were a criminal. But it was a thing of decency and honor as a family to anoint a body with perfume after the person's death. And she did it to prepare him for burial. Let me make some application here. Leroy Lawson from Arizona talks about two Americans that he knew of that went to Thailand. And they saw the beautiful Buddhist temples there that just were so ornate and overdone in our thinking in terms of architecture and decorating. And these two Americans questioned the validity of doing that. And, you know, why would you waste so much money? And one of the Buddhist people said, that's our cathedral. We have built it to the glory of our gods. We have built it to the glory of our gods, and that's ours. And so what they made fun of and said, how could you waste that money? They said, we do it for the glory of our God. And then these two Americans wrongly and mistakenly said, well, we wouldn't do that in America. Really? You ever seen a stadium? You ever been to an arena? Don't raise your hands, but have you ever been to a casino? You seen the opulence of these places? Those are our temples today. We have temples in the United States of America, only they're called stadiums, they're called arenas, they're called convention centers, they're called casinos. And those are the temples of worship in our culture today. One author said this, when we love, we pay. We give when we love, and we give extravagantly. I want you to notice what this woman did. She gave to something that was permanent. Have you ever thought of the things that we give to are temporary? So much of what we, and this doesn't mean it's wrong, but we give to things that are temporary. She gave to something that was eternal by giving to Christ. I think it's an interesting observation. She gave to something that was permanent, and Jesus compliments her by saying, what she's done will be told in memory of her anytime this gospel is preached. Question? When you're gone, what would be the one thing that people will associate with your memory? You ever thought about that?
Well, all this week, the dramatic story of Jesus being anointed at a place called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, by a woman who uses an expensive jar of perfume that Mark says was worth a year's wages and pours it over the head of Jesus as an act of extravagant love. Jesus says this about the woman. This woman, what she did to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, he said, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That's where we pick it up today.
Question, when you're gone, what would be the one thing that people will associate with your memory? You ever thought about that? What's the one thing, the first thing that people will come to mind when they think about you and they talk about you? You know, the sad thing is there's so many people I know just in my circle of influence that when you will mention their name in posterity, people will say, he was an angry guy. You know, she really had quite a temper. Do you remember that? And that will be the first thing that's spoken of that person. Well, she was a bitter woman because, you know, she didn't get what she wanted in life, or he was bitter about what happened at work. She was bitter what happened at the college or the university. You know, I mentioned it parenthetically at the second service. There's so many people that will talk about how they didn't get a fair deal in life. Maybe you've said that. Maybe we've all said it. We didn't get a fair shake at work. We didn't get a fair shake in college or the university. Listen carefully. You got a fair deal at the cross. Don't you ever forget that. You got a fair deal at the cross. When Jesus Christ gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for your sin, you got a good deal. You got a great deal. Your sins are forgiven through what he did on the cross, and we forget that. We totally forget that. I want to suggest another thought that comes to me. What has God given to you to give away? Now, that's going to be a brand new thought for somebody here today. What has God given you to give away? All of us, and I'm including myself, we think that when God gives us something, we get something extra. That's for me. I deserve that. Really? God gave that to me, and maybe he did. I'm not trying to discount that. But have you ever thought about God giving you stuff to give away? God giving you extra funds so you can bless somebody else? It's just a new thought that's radical thinking, perhaps, in 2013 in our culture that is so self-absorbed and self-centered. God, I think, gives people things to give away. And somehow the Lord provided that alabaster jar of perfume to that woman worth a year's wages, and she gave it away by pouring it on the head of Christ. What a powerful story. Some of you remember a movie, an Academy Award-winning movie years ago called Chariots of Fire. It was about the Olympics. It was about a Scottish runner by the name of Eric Liddell. He died in China as a missionary later on. But his dad told him before the Olympics, Eric, run to God's glory and let the world stand back and wonder. What a statement. Run to God's glory, or for God's glory, and let the world stand back and wonder. Later, Eric himself would say, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. To not run is to hold him in contempt. To not run is to hold him in contempt. God had gifted him to run, so he gave the gift away. What gifts has God given to you or me to give away? It may be a talent. It may be the gift of encouragement. It may be the gift that you have to counsel people. Maybe a gift, and we hold it in. We say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give anything to anybody. And yet God gives us things to give away.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we're going to share a letter that we received from a listener that's going to touch your life in a powerful way. I really mean it. Tune in tomorrow to Cross Hope.
On July 4th, last year, I received an email that I've done nothing with since then. Not that I had to do something with it, but July 4th, I received this email from a woman by the name of Dawn. That's all I'm going to say about her. She gave me permission to tell this. I wrote her back and said, may I use it? I said, I don't know when I'll use it, but I'll use it, and it fits perfectly with the message today. In 1966, at the age of 12, I was living in Xenia, Ohio at the time with my father, mother, sister, and brother. My mother asked my dad for a divorce. My dad was devastated and even threatened the family and threatened to commit suicide. Made threats against the family and threatened to commit suicide. It didn't happen. My brother stayed with our father and my sister, but my mother and I moved on. My father dropped out of our lives. What an expression. Some of you have been there and done that. My father dropped out of our lives. In 2004, my father was at Miami Valley Hospital having bypass surgery. I was 49 at the time. My sister was 45 years old. My brother called us and told us that he would like us to come and see him. We went from Cincinnati to Dayton to see him. He said, when we saw him, he said, I sure made a mess of things, didn't I? And we said, yeah, Dad, you did. You sure made a mess of things. And Dawn says this, I said to my dad, Dad, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. What a sentence. That's a word for somebody today. Dad, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. That's what he and I did the last 5 years of his life. We changed our future together. My sister was unable to do that, unfortunately. 5 years ahead. The Friday before he died, as I was driving to Green Memorial Hospital in Xenia, I thought to myself, you've told your dad that you were a Christian, but you've never asked your dad if he's accepted Christ as the Lord of his life. And so she said the first thing she did, she walked into his hospital room at Green Memorial Hospital in Xenia. Dad, have you accepted Christ as the Lord of your life? He looked at me, raised his hand to his chest, and then up to the ceiling and said, yes, I have. I have accepted the Lord Christ as the Lord of my life. That's all I needed to know at the time. The last time I saw him before his death was December 18th, 2009. I took my sister with me because he requested to see her. He couldn't take his eyes off of us. Now I want you to listen to what they did the last day of his life. Very simple. She said we just patted him. We prayed with him. We rubbed his head. We rubbed his back. We just ministered to him in the last day of his life. And Dawn says, I noticed that he had a funny look on his face. And she said, Dad, what's wrong? You know what Dad said? Too much love. I don't deserve it. Too much love. I don't deserve it. And Dawn had the opportunity then to say, Dad, that's the kind of love Jesus Christ gave all of us when he died upon the cross. Unconditional love. Those last 5 years of my dad's life were the best 5 years that I've ever experienced. I've had so much spiritual and personal growth in that time. Folks, if that story doesn't speak to you about love that's extravagant, nothing will. You have been given love that you don't deserve, and neither do I. What did you do to earn the cross? Nothing. What did you do to earn forgiveness? Nothing, and neither did I. What did you do to merit heaven for all of eternity? Nothing. Nobody did. It's all about grace. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about redemption. And it's all about coming to the cross, putting ourselves, throwing ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simon was the leper. I'm the sinner. And I need forgiveness, and so do you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.